with a special holiday edition of What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal. Many parents are breathing a sigh of relief knowing they can now put a popular Christmas tradition to rest until next year. As Elf on the Shelf has soared in popularity, some parents say they're under more and more pressure each year to come up with creative places to put the elf each night without spoiling the surprise for their kids. Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley spoke to some of those parents and joins us now via Skype from San Francisco with more. Katie, before we get to what you heard from some stressed out parents, for the uninitiated, which included myself until pretty recently, can you start by telling us a little bit more about Elf on the Shelf and how it works during the holiday season?
Yes, Elf on the Shelf is actually a book that came out in 2005, and it comes with a little stuffed toy elf. And the book tells a rhyming story to a child from the perspective of this elf who supposedly is going back to the North Pole every night to tell Santa how the child is behaving. So the idea is that parents move the elf each night so that when the child wakes up in the morning, the elf is in a new location because he has supposedly been to visit Santa and has returned and settled into a different area of the house.
Okay, so cute idea, and I had no idea this was such a phenomenon before I heard about it from my cousins around the Thanksgiving dinner table this year. But they also talked about the pressure this puts on parents to really keep up with the creativity in the days before Christmas and in terms of moving this elf around the house. From the anecdotes in your story for the Wall Street Journal, it seems like many other parents feel the same way. Let's hear from Julie Bolt, a mother of three who lives outside Chicago. She says it can be tricky to move the elf around at night after her oldest son falls asleep.
Sometimes we fall asleep before he does. And I have an 18-month-old that's waking me up at night. And I woke up my husband at 4 o'clock in the morning because I was like, did you move him? No. Did you move him? No. I'm nursing Casey, so you have to go. You have to go do it. He moved the guy and never fell back asleep, which is just awful. You know, we don't get enough rest as it is.
Katie, this sounds like a lot of work. So you spoke to Julie and some other parents. How are they coping with that?
Yeah, so what's funny is that this often starts out for parents as like a tradition that they're very excited about. One woman I spoke with, for example, was so excited about Elf on the Shelf and all the fun things that she was going to do for her son that she actually bought two elves. And then now what's happening is she's finding herself, you know, racing downstairs super early in the morning before her kids wake up to try to even remember to move the elf, because that in and of itself has just become a challenge, let alone trying to come up with, you know, elaborate displays and funny things for the elves to be doing. So this is kind of seems to be, you know, common for parents that at first they think it's a great idea. And then the reality of it sets in and they're like, wait, I have to do this every single night. And the kids get super excited about it. So a lot of parents described their kids, you know, racing downstairs in the morning to go find where the elf had moved. And so they absolutely notice if the elf has not moved. So I talked with one woman who ended up having to craft a letter from the elf to her daughter explaining that he could not fly back to the North Pole that night because of bad weather, and that was because she had forgotten to move him.
So you have to get really creative with this, and I do want to add that Julie, who we just heard from, said that despite all that stress, it's worth it, and it really adds to the magic of the holiday. I also want to play some sound from a friend of hers, Jenny Novak, who finds this to be actually a creative outlet for herself.
Of all my friends, they all kind of embrace that they do the lame elf, you know, and that like they don't possibly have the time to do this. And I'm kind of the weirdo outlier that I like actually enjoy this. And I just make it part of my nightly routine. But I totally get that for most parents, this would be a stress.
And Jenny really has a whole story going on here, starting 5 years ago when her family's elf, which they named George, went on a date with Barbie.
Just recently, breaking news, Barbie just showed George a little sonogram that they're going to have a little elf baby. So that is the next part of the saga.
So clearly, despite all that stress, there are parents who are really embracing this as well.
There absolutely are. And I suggest for anyone who's interested, just go on Instagram and type in the hashtag Elf on the Shelf, and you will see some absolutely hilarious elf antics. People have got elves, you know, zip lining across their living room, caught up in webs that it appears Spider-Man has made. One family, they had their elf in like a hot air balloon. Another time he was suspended from a ceiling fan flying a toy airplane in circles. I mean, the level of creativity with these things it's hugely entertaining. And I just couldn't get over some of the displays that I saw while I was reporting. And yes, I mean, Elf and Barbie, the romance between the two of them was cracking me up. I mean, they had their first romantic date was like candlelit at a table. And then, you know, she had them like riding in one of Barbie's cars in one of the pictures as part of another date. And then he proposed and she had like an actual, I'm assuming it was a CZ, but a very sparkly ring for her. And then, you know, she also had a wedding ceremony for them and the whole thing. I'm just like, if I were one of these kids, I would probably find this pretty magical.
Right. And that was really a multi-year story there. Very creative. I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley about the Elf on the Shelf. Coming up, we'll talk about the business of Elf on the Shelf and the role of social media. Katie, you cover personal technology, and the role of social media really plays a big role here for some parents when it comes to Elf on the Shelf. Lots of parents post their most creative ideas on social media, and at the same time, that can probably add to the pressure we've been talking about for some of those other parents who are stressed out by all of this.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of different things going on with the social media aspect of this that are sort of interesting. I mean, for one thing, when you've got people who are doing over-the-top posts, but they're really hilarious, I think that can be very entertaining for a lot of people and not just parents. On the other hand, you know, you can have some people who just post what their elf is up to every day, and maybe the elf isn't quite as entertaining as Jenny Novak's elf is. And I'll see people, you know, tweeting and being like, okay, I'm really over whatever your elf is up to right now. And then on top of that, when you've got, you know, people who maybe don't have the time to come up with elaborate stagings for their elf, they might see something that a friend is doing and know that their children are friends and just think to themselves like, oh my God, my kid is going to find out that his elf is super lame and doesn't really do much. So they worry about this sort of this sharing of elf stories on the playground, which I'm told actually does happen. I mean, kids do talk about this at school, you know, what their elves got into. And, you know, I didn't hear of any issues of, you know, elf jealousy among kids or anything like this. But you can imagine as a parent that if, you know, if your kid is friends with someone whose elf is doing all this out of control stuff, you might want to up things that year so that you don't feel like, you know, you're disappointing them.
Yeah, certainly an element of pressure there to be pretty creative. Let's talk about the business side of this a little bit. Elf on the Shelf and the accompanying book first came out over a decade ago in 2005. How much has the business grown since then? How widespread is this tradition?
Yeah, so I mean, the company told me that there have been 13 million elves, quote, adopted around the world. And that means that, you know, the elves were taken into somebody's home. And that's across 9 different countries. So it's certainly, you know, an international phenomenon. And then they've got elf accessories, like you can have a reindeer pet for your elf. They also have something called the Klaus Couture Collection, which is outfits for your elf. And I mean, like, I'm looking at one right now, and it's like an elf in an inner tube with snowflakes on it, and he's got a matching scarf on. There's a St. Bernard puppy pet situation going on. Elf can be dressed up as like a toy soldier or a superhero. So there really is this whole like elf industry around this, which, you know, an aunt of a young boy who's been doing this for years, you know, she said she and her sister were like, okay, we're not going to get the clothes because it's kind of, you know, it's over the top. And then, you know, over the years, you do this over and over again and you run out of ideas. And she was like, you know, all of a sudden we're buying the costumes because we need more stuff to do with Peter the elf.
So this certainly seems like a pretty successful business story. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley joining us via Skype from San Francisco to talk about Elf on the Shelf. Katie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And you've been listening to a special holiday edition of What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.